God. Well, I'm excited about tonight's message. It might turn into a two-parter. We'll see. But go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I want to thank everybody that was willing to go back into children's and nursery. And I just want to stress, you know, there's absolutely no pressure on anybody. You know, we always encourage people to follow their own hearts. But we had a lot of people that were willing. So thank you so much. And we'll do everything we can to do natural things safe. But we're just believing in the power of God, too. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 7. Father, help us tonight, Lord. May your words be spoke, may your deeds be done. Father, whatever you want to say, whatever you want to do. Father, it's a chance for increase. Father, you know, I was thinking of Mark chapter 6 and the service that Jesus had, and so many people showed up with you there just expecting a ho-hum, mundane, repetitive church service, and they left with nothing. And Father, we gather so much on Wednesdays and so much on Sunday mornings, and Father, you're here every time. Jesus, you're here. The power of the Holy Ghost is here. There's opportunity for change if we'll bring our faith, if we'll bring our expectation. And so, Father, I pray that people will get that revelation and that right now, no matter what their mind is saying, no matter what their body's saying, they would just get hungry, expectancy of receiving great things tonight. And Father, we know that means boldness. We know that means utterance. We know that means encouragement and correction if need be. And Father, we're grateful for it and thankful for it. We thank you for the change that you're offering us here tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 7, it says this. It says, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables." Notice this next statement, "and exercise yourself rather unto godliness." Well, how many of you know the goal is to be like God? Amen. More we're like Him, the less we're like ourselves. Praise God. He's not our problem, we're our problem at times. And the Bible says that you can do exercises, spiritual exercises, to be more like Him, because it goes on in verse 8, it says, "For bodily exercise profiteth little," means it has value to it, and it does. It says, "but godliness," so it's not talking about natural, it's talking about spiritual, "but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." And a lot of times, you know that the Bible will use natural examples to illustrate spiritual truths. And so he's talking about a natural thing here of natural bodily exercise. And the Bible says that it does profit a little. And you know, in comparison to what spiritual gains are, it blows it out of the water. But we know, more than they would know back then, that natural physical exercise, it's really important and beneficial for the natural body. You know, I was just reading a bunch of different articles on the, you know, trusted, you know, articles that were done by people that know what they're talking about, you know, not just some random person on the internet, but talking about how regular physical activity is one of the most important things that a person can do for their health. And when people do that, if you think about that physical exercise, what ends up benefiting? The person ends up being benefited, but the person that's also being benefited, that has loved ones and things, it benefits other people for that person. It does my kids well that I stay healthy. It does my kids well that I stay strong in mind and body and can do things with them, and it's good for the church, you know, and same thing in your own life. And so we know that it benefits, and the Bible does say that it benefits, and we're going to look back and forth at some things. But I want to point out to you this importance of spiritual exercise. And in 1 Timothy 4, I'm going to read verse 7, 8 again, and then I'm going to read it in the Phillips translation, because we know naturally, and I'll mention some other things that these articles had said and point out, and they're obvious things, but we do know that physical exercise is important. It solves a lot of problems, actually, and keeps people in a good state of mind. It keeps people, you know, like I said, we'll look at those benefits. But here, we know how good it is for us, but yet the Bible says that spiritual exercise is better, and which should tell us we should probably get in the spiritual gym. And in verse 7, it says, "Refuse profane and old wives' fables. Exercise yourself rather unto godliness, for bodily exercise profits a little, and we know now in our day and age it does profit a lot naturally. But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and that of which is to come. Now listen to the Phillips translation. I love the Phillips translation. It brings it out. Really good to understand what he's saying. He says, take time and trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. Bodily fitness has a certain value, but spiritual fitness, notice this, is essential both for this present life and for the life to come. There's no doubt about this at all, and Christians should remember it. It is because we realize, Paul's talking now, it is because we realize the paramount importance of the spiritual that we labor and struggle. Hallelujah. So what I'm going to talk to you about tonight is a certain spiritual exercise that the Holy Ghost has been stressing and wants to make sure that we get it. But before we do that, real quick, jump over to Philippians 3 and verse 1. Philippians 3 and verse 1. Spiritual exercise is paramount. It is essential, praise God, to be, you know, to be healthy spiritually, to be victorious, to be, you know, walking in what God has for us. But Paul wrote in Philippians 3 and verse 1, he said, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous. But for you it's safe. What's he saying? I don't mind repeating myself. Because in doing so, the repeating keeps you safe. Number one, you know, if I think about my own children, how many times do my kids just get it after saying it one time? Not very often, you know, and the important things in life, the things to keep them safe, the things to keep them out of danger, to keep them healthy, to keep them well off. How many of you know it's those things you say over and over and over and over? You know, I don't know how many times I can remember saying or hearing Courtney say, when the kids go outside to play, if anybody pulls in the driveway, you run right back in the house. And we just kept saying that over and over. Why? It's not grievous for us to do that. By doing that, it gets in them and keeps them safe. And the Bible says that faith cometh, and faith is what we need to walk some of these things out. Faith comes by the repetitive hearing and hearing and hearing. Hallelujah. And so Paul said it's not grievous but safe. And some of these things, it hasn't been that long since we talked about some of them, but the Holy Spirit's emphasizing these. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Look at what Peter wrote. He wrote along the same lines, but what he was saying here is a little different slant. Paul said it keeps you safe, but Peter is also saying that it will do something else for you. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. See, if you don't have a pastor that's constantly repeating some of these things to you, you have a negligent pastor. And Peter said, I'm not going to be negligent to say these things to you and put you in remembrance of these things. That's what? Saying it over and over again. You know, I would be a negligent parent to not remind my children of these safe things that keep them safe and protected. Oh, you know, I told my five-year-old one time, just expect, oh, I told my four-year-old just one time, you say these important things over and over and over again. But then he says, even though you know them, he says, I don't mind, even though you know them, to keep telling you over and over again, and be established in present truth, verse 13, yea, I think it's me or right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, talking about his own earthly body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Notice what Paul said. He says, it'll keep you safe for me to keep repeating it, but also it'll stir you up. What's stirring you up mean? Get you moving. Get you going forward in the doing, praise God. It's not the hearing that solves everything. It's the hearing and the doing. And when you repeat something over and over and over, faith rises up, and faith without works is dead. When you have faith, you'll do something about it, praise God. So tonight is meant for two things: to keep us safe and to get us stirred up to do something. And the spiritual exercise that I want to talk about and stress here tonight in the Word is the exercise of prayer. And Prayer is a spiritual exercise. It's not a natural exercise. But here's the thing that we'll learn and see about prayer. And again, you already know these things, but what's the goal? Not to get you just to say, I know that, but to get you to do this. To get you to become a prayer. To get you to become a consistent person of prayer. Why? There's so much at stake with it. But prayer is a spiritual exercise that will benefit your personal life, but also it'll benefit others around you, your family, the community, your church, your coworkers, different things like that. And at times, just like exercise, and I'll read some of these stats here and things that were in the articles by these people are a lot smarter than me when it comes to health and stuff. It can be a matter of life and death. Exercise can be the matter of life and death for some people. Oh, absolutely. I want to read what some of the things exercise can do. And again, not trying to take you to Gold's Gym here tonight or Planet Fitness. But listen to what, and these are consistent in all these journals of medicine and articles, that exercise delivers oxygen and nutrients to your tissues and helps your cardiovascular system work more efficiently, which helps extend your life. So you could say it this way. Some people's lives have been cut short just to the fact that they were inactive and didn't exercise. Yeah. That's what it says. It says it cuts your cancer risk in two, reduces the chance of heart disease, strokes, type 2 diabetes, and lowers the risk of an early death up to 30%. I guess it does profit. Yeah. Amen. It does profit. And you know, if you were to, go to a good doctor that knew, hey, you need to lose some weight. Hey, you need to get your blood pressure down. Hey, you need to start, lowering your cholesterol and, this amount of exercise. A good doctor is going to continually tell you this stuff over and over and over again. It's like the time that Pastor Nancy Dufresne went to the doctor and she was going through something. And the doctor said, there's an easy fix for this. If you just would do this, this, and this naturally, the problem will be fixed. Well, she came back, and I don't know if it was diet, some exercise, what it was. But she came back 6 months later, and the doctor said, looking at the chart, you're not going through this anymore. What happened? And she said, I just listened to you. And he looked at her shocked and said, nobody listens to me. But the more you hear this, over and over. And, I'll tell you, this is just the truth. Just in the last few days meditating on some of these things, what's come to me from reading those things is physical exercise is no longer optional. Do I want to live 30% longer? Yes. Do I want to reduce these things? Yes. Do I want to take care of my body? Yes. And you have to do that by physical exercise. But my point is, by reading these things and hearing the importance of them and the danger of not doing it over and over, it's built something in me to say, need to make some changes naturally. But it'll work the same way when you hear these things spiritually over and over, the benefits and the detriments of not doing it and the danger of not doing it. Hopefully then something triggers in you to start being a person of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. So it says that physical exercise can deliver things to your body, oxygen and nutrients to your tissues that help your cardiovascular system, which ends up benefiting so many things. But how many of you know the spiritual exercise of prayer also can deliver some things? Go with me to James 5 and verse 16. James 5 and verse 16. Now, this is the parts where you start saying, I've heard this before. And you would be right, because I'm not a negligent pastor. I just patted myself on the back without reaching around and patting myself on the back. That's what I did. James 5 and verse 16. We know this verse, but when we truly get a revelation. Now, I like when the Lord gives me little nuggets that are things I never saw before, things that help me understand things a little bit better. But in James 5:16, it says, we're going to go down where it says the effectual. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Lynn, would you please pull that up in the Amplified? Remember, natural exercise can deliver things that can save your life. Prayer can deliver things that can save lives. It says, the last sentence, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. Now, think about this now. It makes power available. Now, before I explain what I had the Lord share with me as I was spending time with Him today, I want to show you the example that we look at all the time that is clear as day, that when power was made available through prayer, things changed. And of course, that's in Acts chapter 12 in verse 1. But you have to understand something about Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12 was literally life and death situation. Amen. It was literally a life and death situation. When somebody didn't spiritually exercise, it led to death. When somebody did spiritually exercise, it led to the power being made available, which led to the change in the circumstances. But in Acts chapter 12 and verse 1, it says, "About that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." Now let me point this out and ask you a question. Do we believe that God is everywhere all the time? Amen. He is. Do we believe that where God goes, God brings God with Him? Yes. You know what I mean by that? That God's not, you know, leaving his bag of goodies up in heaven and, you know, just coming here. And no, we know that where God goes, God never changes. God is always the same. So the moment that Herod killed James, we know what? God was there. And we know that God already had everything that was needed to deliver James right there on the scene, yet it didn't happen. And verse 4 says, "When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison," talking about Peter, "and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people," to do the same exact thing. "Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him." Now think about this. Prayer was made. What do we know about prayer from the last verse? That it makes tremendous power available. And that power is dynamic in its working. Now, this is what we have to understand that will help to get us to be prayers. And this is what the Lord showed me. You might already know this, or it already been obvious to you, but it wasn't me. It doesn't say that prayer makes power. There's no power need to be made. The power is already there. Prayer makes the power there available for use. Now, this is what He showed me. Because we get in our religious minds that God's just going to do it. And you know that's what they thought about James. Here's a mighty man of God, serving Jesus, was one of the inner three that Jesus took with Him. God's going to do something. And God want to do something? Sure. Did God have the ability to do something? Yes. But it didn't happen, did it? No. And we get in our minds at times, well, I'm faithful to go to church. These are strongholds and little foxes that spoil the vine that the devil plants these thoughts. Well, I go to church and I'm faithful to tithe and I serve whenever anything's needed and I give into special offerings and I bless my pastor and I'm kind and I pray. And we think, how could my life be this way? How is this not changing? Where's the revelation I need? Where's the turnaround I need? Where's the deliverance I need? And the whole time we're wondering that, God is with us. And God has the ability and the power to do what needs to be done to change it. But this is the example He showed me. It would be like a person getting into a new home or a new apartment and the electric has not been turned on. They say, you got to call such and such to turn the electric on. How many of you know in that apartment, in that house, the ability of power is already there? It's already there. And it would be like, and how many of you know, there might be wonderful, sweet, kind people at the power company that don't want you to go without power. that don't want you to go without heat that's controlled by the electricity and don't want you to go without that. But how many of you know they can't just flip that switch for you because it would be illegal. The power available through prayer is what gives God the legal right to display that power in somebody's life. And that goes all the way back to the devil being the god of this world, and that Christians through Jesus and the name of Jesus have now authority over the devil. And remember the verse, whatever we bind, he binds. Whatever we loose, he looses. Why? It's illegal for God. It would have been illegal for God to deliver James from the power of darkness until somebody prayed. Hallelujah. Things are lost when there's no prayer. Things are lost when there's no prayer. Hallelujah. I said things are lost when there's no prayer. I want to show you something here, if I can find it. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I've been somewhat mum on the election, waiting for, you know, time to be able to release things and what the Holy Ghost has shared with me personally about things. And it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayer, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for those that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and honesty. We want a peaceful and quiet life in godliness and honesty. And we think because we're Christians and we live in America that that comes with it. No, it comes with it when prayer's made available. And then the power goes forth to turn what the devil's doing in the natural to give us that quiet and peaceable life. Let me tell you how the Holy Ghost dealt with me. You follow your own heart and what you're doing, and I'm not the be-all, end-all in these things. I'm just telling you personally. You know, I haven't really said much about it because I'll give you an example. I saw a clip of President Trump. This was after the election. And I'm going to tell you personally, I was so grieved when I looked at the man and I said, Father, I dropped the ball for 4 years. I knew that I did not do what needed to be done as a Christian in this nation to help things change when his term was over back there in January, a couple weeks ago. And this is what I also knew, that neither did the majority of the body of Christ. Now, the majority of the body of Christ did it 4 years prior to him. But then we took our foot off the gas. Now, that's what the Holy Ghost dealt with me on. And I knew personally that registered or sat good with my heart. I knew that I did not do for that man in that presidency what God was expecting and what God was needed for the power. If you're thinking that the power of darkness is not trying to absolutely take over this country, you are spiritually tone deaf. There is so, I've never seen the miracle it took to get him into office, and then in 4 years, no one has ever suffered the onslaught of attacks and vitriol and evil. And I mean, right from the get-go, there was all these things that just being conjured up. Well, what was happening? The power of darkness was throwing. I'm not saying you didn't pray enough. I just know when I saw him and I went and I repented to God and I said, I am so sorry. I missed it. And I know in my heart many other Christians did as well. How do I know? When Reverend Greer puts out a post of him repenting to God that he didn't pray enough for the president. Amen. But what was happening? Darkness, darkness, darkness for 4 years. Onslaughts of darkness. Well, how do you turn that around? You turn that around through the power of God. But how do you get the power of God on the scene? When people pray. And I know that a lot of times when it's too late, how many of you know there are things that can't be reversed and can't be turned around, that things are set into motion. There's been times before of healings where it's like, nope, don't pray for their healing. They've confessed it. They believe they're going to die. You can't change some things. I know that a lot of people started frantically praying when the election didn't go their way. And part of the reason is because I believe Christians were picking up what God's will was on the matter. And when it didn't happen, we were so shocked that, how could this be? We know what He wants. But God wanted James alive. And you know what the church probably said? How can this be? And they woke up and said, now we need to pray for Peter. It's going to be the same result. Yes. Well, please pull that back up. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 2. For kings and for all that are in authority. Look at this. That we may lead quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. The manifestation. I just get the test. I'm going to say what's on my spirit. And I don't even think you have to be a spiritual genius to say this, but I wouldn't say it if it wasn't on my heart. Naturally, America's in for some bumpy roads ahead. And again, you don't need to be Smith Wigglesworth to know that. I'm just telling you. And the manifestation of that quiet and peaceable life comes forth when what? Prayer goes forth. Well, it's not that the power was never here. It's not that the power couldn't turn things around and change things. It's that when people don't pray and there's the forces of darkness, it gives God no legal right to move. And I believe we did for 4 years. This isn't about the election tonight, but I believe what the church did for 4 years is what the church did for James. And just assume that's God's man and that's God's will and that guy will stay there. And we found out, That was one of the things that shocked me so much. Like, wait a second, what it took to get him in? And now it's done in 4 years? And all this stuff's changed and the America and all this stuff? And no doubt, Christians are picking up, this can't be. Well, James was killed, it can be. It can be, amen? Hallelujah, in Acts 16:25. Now I do believe... we don't have to go doom and gloom. Let's start praying. Let's start praying and believe in God. Because America needs it more than ever. Amen. This is Paul and Silas, you know, God's men in prison. And the Bible says at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So evidently power manifested. But that power was always there. But the power was then made available. Just like the electricity in the apartment of the house is made available when the legal agreement is followed. Then the people that have the power to turn that on can turn that on for you. God has the power to do it. God has the ability and the want to, but the praying gives him the power to do it. Midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying, praise unto God. Prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake. And of course, we know the end result was what? They were delivered. Yeah. Think about the things in our lives that stay the same, that hurt our lives, that hinder our lives, that cause us to be in bondage. And we have the idea that I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. I'm just waiting on God. And God is up there with what mentality? Well, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the eyes of the Lord run to and fro, looking to show himself strong. That's right. His, I want to pounce on that. Oh, I want to help that situation. Yeah. And how many times do these natural situations, because Paul and Silas were in a natural bind, Peter was in a natural bind that the only thing that could save him and deliver him was a spiritual exercise. And how many times do we just drop the ball on things? That's what we're trying to not do here. Hallelujah. Talking about personal, listen, regular physical activity can improve your muscle strength and boost endurance, which helps your everyday life. You know, and this is true. We don't even need to really look at a whole lot of natural examples, but the one I will look at is, I remember being on a hunt one time, and there was a guy my age, built like me, same thing, and we had to go for a far walk out on It was where we were shooting in the range and stuff, and walked back. And I noticed this guy, actually he was a few years younger than me, was completely winded when he got back. And I went right to the guide and said, make sure I'm not with him. Because I'm ready to go running all over the mountains and chasing these things, and he can't even walk to the target and back without sounding. He's like, don't worry, we already go over people's, you know, health level. But what was the point? Lack of physical exercise for him hindered him. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's places that they want to go and they can't take them to get to, and there's things that they want to overcome because of lack of physical exercise. Well, it's the same thing. Now, physical exercise benefits a little, it makes you stronger, but spiritual exercise is better. Then it'll give us the same type of thing, only it'll boost us even more. What am I talking about? Well, go to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. There's obstacles in life that we need to overcome. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 4. Says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, what are we talking about? Prayer. Spiritual exercise, right? Well, we just got done saying that the doctors and the trainers and the people that are in that field, that regular physical activity can give you a boost. It can strengthen your muscles, strengthen your bones, cause you to be able to live different, to overcome things differently. It's the same thing with prayer. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue, he that regularly takes part in this spiritual exercise edifies himself. Or one translation says to build yourself up or to charge oneself. Well, building yourself up sounds like making you stronger, and charging sounds like giving you that boost that the natural exercise can give you. Now, think about this. There's things that we face that we can't afford to get wrong. What am I talking about? Well, faith walk. Or I should, let me say it this way. Love walk obstacles. Walking in the God kind of love to receive the God's blessings, it's not an optional thing. But how many of you know, it seems like on a daily basis, there's love walk obstacles there that are trying to get me what? To trip up into bitterness, trip up into offense, trip up into anger, trip up into being nasty, right? And how many of you know, for our faith flow to work, Galatians 5 and verse 6 says that faith works by love. But see, when we're not built up, I mean, that guy is so not built up, he can't even walk 100 yards and back when there's mountains to climb and all this. He can't even do the smallest things to get back without being out of breath. Right. And how many times it just takes one person to cut you off? It just takes your spouse to say one thing that you didn't like the sound of? It takes one thing to happen at work, right? One memory or one thought to come in, and what? We start backbiting. We start talking behind people's back. We start taking offense and getting bitter and all these things. And what are we doing? We're tripping up. Why? Because the littlest things, just like the littlest things walking to there and back, is tripping that guy up. What's he going to do when the big things come? Amen. What about faith? And when the mountains are in front of us, and now we're moving on to real big things, and all of a sudden you don't have a job anymore. All of a sudden your body naturally is shot. It's not getting better. And the doctors are saying this. And you can't afford fear. You can't afford anxiety. You can't afford these things. What about when oppression and depression is trying to weigh you down and get you into despair? Do you have that strength to overcome that obstacle? If you're not spiritually built up, you won't. You won't. Hallelujah. It's the truth. Hallelujah, it's the truth. Praise God. So many people, the smallest things trip them up into love walk problems. The smallest things trip them up into fear. I know this, that when I'm prayed up and that I'm strong in the Word, I feel like every problem in my life feels like this. Tiny. When I'm not built up in the Spirit, what? Your emotions run wild, your thoughts run wild, and everything that was like this is now the huge mountain and you don't know how to get past it. And then what do? You enter into worry and fear. Yeah, it's the truth. Now, we know this about physical exercise, that when you do physical exercise continually or faithfully, it will bring about changes in the natural that you can see, right? It will help people to lose weight, which has a whole lot of health benefits. People report commonly that when they're faithful to work out, they sleep better. Yeah? All these things, that battles against chronic diseases, mental. Their mental state is so much better when they're consistently. Why? That oxygen, those nutrients are going. Because God didn't create you to be depressed. God didn't create you to have diabetes and cancers and breathing problems and things. Hallelujah. It can bring about help in cardiovascular health. So we know this, that natural exercise can bring about the change in the natural. But the same way, consistent spiritual exercise will bring the change needed in the natural. Go with me to James 5 and verse 16 again. James 5 and verse 16. The difference between tapping into the power that's there and not is prayer. It's prayer. Some of us need power in our bodies. Some of us need power in our work situations. Some of us need power in dealing with people that are nasty and awful to us and causing us trouble. We need the power of God to move in that situation. We need God to remove some things. We need God to deliver. We need God to set on high. We need God to promote. We need God to break chains off. We need God to part seas. We need God to knock giants down. It's true. I go to the end of the verse. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, or the Amplified says, makes tremendous power available. And then look what it says. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, verse 17. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And look at the result. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Well, we know before that 3 year, 6 month drought, it was raining. But spiritual exercise was the only thing that delivered Peter. It was the only thing that delivered Paul. It's the only thing that can assure us of a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. And it's the only thing that caused the natural rain to stop falling for 3 years and 6 months was a spiritual exercise of prayer. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, verse 18, and he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. 3 years, 6 months, God's will was now what? Let's have it rain. Let's have it rain. But there's no doubt the enemy and the power of darkness would have loved to keep that drought going. Why? Because God's will was for it to rain, and the devil wants the opposite. But a man prayed, and what did it do? Unlocked the power. The power to what? Make it rain again. Hallelujah. Angels showing up and people being delivered and supernatural favor and supernatural deliverance has to come from a spiritual exercise. It's the spirit realm that reigns supreme. What we see in the natural is a result of what's being done or not being done in the spiritual. Amen. Amen. It's true. And I'll close with this and then we're going to get to praying. Just like exercise, what do they say? Just get moving. Right? Some people are so overwhelmed by it. Some people are so out of shape that just get moving. Just go for a slow walk around the block once or twice a day. Just get things moving. Just get started. Just do it. We know that natural exercise has nothing to do with how you feel or not. Now, I'm saying barring injuries and things like that, but, it's about just, there's so many times that, back before COVID and things, go to the gym, and I didn't feel like going there, or hop on the exercise bike, and I certainly didn't feel like it, but I just did it and got results. Right. Amen. This spiritual exercise of prayer, it's the only way to tap into that power. that's available. I had, and see, when you understand that it's life or death, and that your situation that you've wanted to change and it to turn and turn and turn, and you're just expecting it's just going to get better because I'm confessing. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Confession has its place, but so does prayer. I was talking with somebody years ago that was going through hell on earth. And this was more personal towards them. I could give you stories about deliverances of other people. I mean, we had stories in youth group of kids that strayed, and we got together with the youth group kids and prayed, and they'd come back and power made available, stuff like that. But this was a story years ago that somebody was on the verge of quitting. They were on the verge of walking away from God. Basically had the idea, if he's so loving and so wonderful, why am I going through this? Well, that's certainly a thought James could have had. But when James gets to heaven, he's going to learn from God, I'm sorry, but your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ were ignorant to how I work. That's why you're here right now. Amen. It's the truth. And this person was ready to quit and walk away from God. Life was just beating them down. Well, I knew that they had got to that place of quitting and giving up. Again, you don't need to be a spiritual genius to know this, but I knew because in praying for them, it was revealed. And I just boldly said it. I said, how much are you praying and how much are you building yourself up in the Word of God? And they said to me, it's non-existent. I said, well, and again, this was for their personal buildup, but also the prayer would also begin to change these natural things that are coming against them. And they said to me, but I don't feel like doing it. Well, yeah, join the stinking club. This might come as a surprise to you. I don't know if I should admit it. Maybe you want to find a different church. Most of the time, I never feel like praying or reading my Bible. But you're my pastor. At least I'm honest. You know what I feel like doing a lot of times? Laying around, playing in the woods, watching TV, watching movies. Naturally, it's rare that I feel, just like for me, it was rare to feel like wanting to exercise. My dog looks at me every day and says, today, really? We're going to be doing this again? Lazy? She can't figure it out. What's wrong with this guy? He's a bipolar walker. Some days we're walking, some days we're not. Some days we're walking, some days we're not. She's ready to go all the time. I don't feel like it at times. And I remember one time I told Pastor Michael, because he was telling me about pressing in prayer, and I told him, you know, I get in there and, man, I get assaulted, bombarded. He says, what do you do when that happens? I said, I stop praying. And he started laughing. He slapped the table. He said, that's all the devil's got to do to get you to stop, huh? Just give you some thoughts, give you some boredom, give you, put imaginations in your head. Just all it takes is you get a little bit hungry. Yes, that's all it takes. I'm hungry. I don't want, I could be hurt if I don't feed myself. That's the thoughts I get. I need to do this now or whatever, you know. And I could sit there and watch a movie for 2 hours, but go to pray for 10 minutes and I want to go to sleep. It's the truth. And that's what that person said to me. I don't feel like doing it. And they gave me, the Holy Ghost gave me an example. And it was their family member that was, I've said this before, that was on dialysis. Now, dialysis is because you have kidney problems. In dialysis, you have a machine that's hooked up to you that you have to hook into and run that machine. I don't know all the ins and outs, but you have to stop your life and do those dialysis treatments. Whatever time it is, no matter where you're at, you got to do that or you'll suffer. I said, does that person in your life, what happens if they don't do those things? Oh, all these negative things happen. I said, so are there times that they have to do this when it's inconvenient? Yeah. Are there times that they have to do this when they don't feel like it, don't want to do it? Yeah. But what's the result? Saves their life. Yeah. Keeps them protected, keeps them safe, keeps them alive. I said, that's word and prayer. Yeah. When you recognize, I can't let my feelings not plug me into this machine. Yeah. That's somebody with a revelation that I don't care that I'm tired. I don't care that it's inconvenient to my flesh right now. I have a revelation. If I don't plug into this machine, I will suffer. When Christians would get a revelation, and how are you going to get it? I'm going to keep reminding you over and over that power and prayer and these things over and over and over. Why do we talk about being in the Word so much? Because until you get a revelation, it's one thing to know it, but it's another thing to do it. Amen. I said, that's Word and prayer, and a light bulb went off. Because I don't have to feel it to do it to get the benefits, but I do need to do it. Amen. How do you know it works? Well, Paul and Silas, I'm guaranteeing they didn't feel like having a prayer meeting, naked in prison, beat. I had another one of my underwear dreams the other night. I was going to do a wedding, and all of a sudden I didn't have my suit on. I don't know. That one really stressed me out bad because these people were dependent on me, and it was at 1 o'clock wedding, and I was walking out in the wedding in my tidy whities. I said, this is not supposed to be happening right now. I don't know, I get that dream all the time, so I am just so afraid that might happen here. Of course, I'm kidding, but anyways. You just got to do it, amen? We just got to do it, no matter what we feel. We just got to do it. When we understand it's life or death, we'll do it. That dialysis machine, life or death. It's life or death. It's whether you're delivered or not delivered. It's whether you're freed or not freed. It's whether your situation's changed or not changed. They had to learn the hard way with James. Peter, they finally got their act together. Praise God. Well, let's go ahead. Let's just dive right into prayer. I know we're all born again here. Praise God. Hallelujah. If you need to leave, of course, just quietly dismiss.